The question today is, are there different degrees of being lost? Now, this is the third part of this question. And I said the Bible does not give us degrees of being lost, but I talked to you about the categories of the lost people. You see, when man's lost, when he reaches the knowledge of accountability, and you're at that point, it's not an age, but when you come to a knowledge of good and evil, then you're lost. Even though you may not know it, you may not understand it, you may not even realize it at that particular time, but you're out from under God's protective cover or canopy of safeness as a child or a young person, but then you're under the wrath of God. But thank God for His goodness that holds it back, giving you a space of repentance. Now, the categories we're talking about is, the first of all, there's the sinner, the out-and-out sinner who don't want God, has no respect of God. He's headed at breakneck speed to being reprobate if he's not already there. They're going to go to hell. We know, we talked about that. Then we talked also about the second category found in Isaiah chapter 50, verse number 10, when he says, Who is among you that feareth God? Is there one among a many? It looks like as he addresses this to a group, we'll call the true seekers, and he gives the characteristics as those that feareth God and that obeyeth the voice of his servant, meaning the Lord, the God's servant, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, and who now speaks to us through the Holy Spirit of God. And that's a continuous action verb. The only reason anybody fears, respects, and reverences a holy God is because he's been awakened. God's planted something down inside him. He's brought him from the broad way to the narrow way and told him to seek to enter in the straight gate. I know the natural man doesn't seek, the out-and-out sinner's not, but the awakened man does, and God told him to. And there's few that be that find even the narrow way that leads to life, and life is at the straight gate. And so therefore, he tells us to seek the Lord in that sense and obey. He's the one who obeys. Now, he also mentions the fact that he also walketh in darkness and hath no light. That's not talking about the light of the gospel. See, if it did, that would be contradictive to what we've said. Here, what he's talking about is the frustration and the inward feeling and the inward experiences that one has because of the fact he's not saved as quick as maybe he thinks he should be. And I'm not advocating a long time. I'm just advocating that there has to be a completed work of Holy Ghost conviction for a person to be saved. And these preachers and well-meaning social workers, if you please, spiritual social workers, don't need to short-circuit the work of the Holy Ghost. Let him finish that work in the area of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. So as what happens is that he's frustrated about that, and he doesn't understand. So that's the darkness it's talking about. But he doesn't have to stay there because he gives him exhortation to come and trust in the Lord. And whatever the Lord's voice speaks to you, when he makes it real to you, then you can do what he says. He'll enable you to do what he said. Now, the word trust means to roll up on in the Old Testament. It's equivalent to New Testament saving faith. And then he said, stay up on the Lord and stay on him. In other words, that means stay up on his God, meaning the servant's God, the Lord Jesus God. And that means stability. And I can take that as an application. Roll up on the Lord and stay there, and you'll find you'll come through the straight gate. Now, we started yesterday dealing with the third category of the lost, the seduced that we talked about, the deceived, in other words. And he says their conduct was that they kindle a fire. It means they do it, not God. In other words, it's something they started, something they've depended upon. Salvation is the Lord, not man. In other words, the distinguishing marks of all false religions is that it begins with man and not with God. Now, we can mention a lot of religions by name here that's false religions, and they fall into this category that we're talking about here of they kindle a fire. But I'm not worried about religions necessarily. I'm a Baptist, so I can talk about the Baptists. Baptists many times come under that category of false religion too, in what they practice, not necessarily what they preach, but what they practice. You see, all many of us have, many Baptist churches today have, is a bunch of form, a bunch of ceremony, and a bunch of programs, of plans, and plans of man. That's all it's all about. In other words, that's a fire that they've kindled. that, in other words, that, and these are the sparks that they compass themselves about with, he said in verse number 11 of Isaiah 50. In other words, they kindle a fire and compass themselves about with the sparks of that fire that's man-made. And an example of that would be that some folks, that they receive their ministry in a direct line from the apostles. Well, folks, we know the Dark Ages, you don't have a direct line through that. But what is that other than a spark, a fire, which they've kindled to warm themselves into a persuasion that they're the true ministers of Christ? They kindle a fire. Someone else, many say, well, you can be saved when you want to. Means that man can turn to God himself with his own ability. Can't do that. He can make himself a new heart. That's what they're saying. He can come to Christ by himself. He can believe by himself. He can hope and love by the exercise of man's ability. And what that does, that kindles a fire and presumption blows up on the coal. What they have is a work of the creature and not the work of the Holy Spirit. Thus they compass themselves about with sparks. Listen, fleshly conviction in place of godly sorrow. Creature confidence in place of divine assurance. Groans and shouts of amen and praise the Lord and so forth. Emotions, in other words, in place of communion with God. Shouting to the top of the voice is what they're to them preaching in power. Singing hymns to worldly music is praising God. Amens of the hearers many times kindle a fire which passes for the love of God. In other words, and they go out of this world with a seared conscience and they think that's dying triumphantly in full assurance of faith. All those things we could deal with each individually, a message on the radio broadcast, but it's just kindling a fire that man, they kindle a fire and compass themselves about with all the sparks of what they've kindled. And there's many more areas we could go on and on, but you see, it's not right. It's man-made, and what, so you're going to find the outcome of this, the sentence, is hell. You see, this is the conduct. They build a fire themselves. They build a bonfire in some spiritual forms and ceremonies, and they compass themselves about the sparks and thinking they're okay. Listen, dead orthodox, you see, fits in this characteristic as much as the zeal of fanaticism. One ditch is as bad as the other. False religion takes on a thousand different kinds of shapes and colors. It seizes the minds. It blinds to the truth. It fills with prejudice. It sears the conscience. It hardens the heart. And each false sect has its own bonfire, and the light from it persuades it is from heaven. And seduces by supplying a false warmth and false hope. And any person who compasses himself with the sparks of this false fire becomes a greater enemy of God and his church. Now that's their conduct that he talked about. But now look at their sentence in verse 11. Isaiah chapter 50 verse 11. He said they are, and they walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. That's the first part of this, their sentence. Now that phrase, walk in the light of your fire and then the sparks you have kindled, is a dreadful sentence. Being given up for blindness is what it amounts to. In other words, the judge of the whole world says, in essence, you've chosen to deceive yourself. Therefore, I'll leave you alone. Just go on walking in the fire that you've kindled. Enjoy your false confidence. Enjoy your comfort yourselves. Comfort yourselves with your rites, your forms, your ceremonies. Rest on your false hope. And just as in other words, that's what the Lord is basically saying. Just go on. You've done it. Just continue that way. I'll leave you alone. Just as our Lord told the Pharisees in Matthew 23:32, fill ye up in the measure of your fathers. In other words, the cup is going to be filled up. All these sparks of natural virtue has rocked that man that's been seduced to sleep. He'll tell you he's not afraid to die, for he's not bothered. The Lord doesn't bother him because his conscience has been seared, and the devil doesn't bother him because he belongs to the devil. Then the second part of his sentence is that he said in verse number 11, this shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. In other words, you're going to receive something from me if you're walking in this as the seduced. In other words, sometimes this sentence may partly be executed in this life, but for the most part, the whole weight of this sentence is deferred until the life to come. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. Sometimes the delusion which is spread over the heart is rent asunder on the dying pillar. And in other words, one flash of eternal fire in the conscience dissolves the dream of eternal life that their spark fire, that fire they made, did for themselves. I heard about a widow one time down south. An evangelist came by, and the pastor came by during the meeting, and this widow had been married to a preacher. And she was showing him her house, and as she got in the bedroom, and she just almost stopped and with amazement looked down to the side of that bed and said, "There's where it happened. There's where it happened." And they said, "What are you talking about?" "There's where it happened," she said. "What do you mean, there's where it happened?" She said, "Right there is where my husband, who was dying, he fell out of the bed and said, 'I'm dying and I'm going to hell. I preached for 25 years and I'm dying and going to hell.' And he fell out and died in that condition and in essence went to hell." And she said, "There's where it happened." Listen, he walked in the fire he had kindled, and God said, you shall lie down in sorrow. Seduced, deceived into thinking what they had was okay. Bible says many going to be that way in the end in Matthew 7:22. Many will say unto me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we not done many wonderful works in thy name?" And then will I profess unto them, "I never knew you that work iniquity." You see, sometimes the professor finds out at the last moment he's no Christian at all, and he cries out in agony of despair, but God said, "You walked in the fire you've kindled, and would not heed the light I give you." He spoke of that in Proverbs 1:24-25. He said, "Because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof." Then he says, "Now I will do something," in verse 26 through 28 of Proverbs 1. "I also will laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh up on you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me." Too late, God says, you'll lie down in sorrow. If not on the bed of physical death, then on the flaming pillows of eternal death, if you've been seduced, if you're of this category of the lost. How sad. You see, this is the seduced, which seems to be in the majority. But God says it don't have to end that way. You see, for he said, even though our gospel's hid in 2 Corinthians 4:3-4 by the God of this world, verse 6 says of 2 Corinthians 4, For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, you just need to be continue in his truth, in his word, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Let God bring you from a seduced one category to the seeker, where that he'll enable you to trust in the Lord and stay upon him, and you'll not have to lie down in sorrow as that lost person in that condition. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you. Until we meet again on the air or in the air, may the good Lord bless you, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.